Congregation may be seated. This morning, once again, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I'd like to invite you to keep your worship bulletin handy. And if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. If you're in need of something to write with this morning, I encourage you to raise your hand, and one of our ushers will be glad to get something into your hands this morning. As I mentioned during the start of our service this morning, today brings us to the end of our journey through the story. This 31-week sermon series where we've taken a look at God's Word chronologically from Genesis all the way to our topic and our subject matter today in the book of Revelation. And I hope and pray that it's been a healthy journey for you. I hope we haven't lost anybody, left somebody off wandering on the trail somewhere else, but I hope you've been able to track with us. And if you'd like to go back at any point in time and review some of what we've discovered and learned, I encourage you to do that by going back to our website to check out some of the former messages, as well as to pick up some of the study guides that are available for us out in the narthex or welcome area this morning to follow along with the journey, the story, which is your story, my story, but most of all, it's the greatest story ever told. It's God's story. Today, I'd like to start our time together in God's Word by just asking you a question. As you consider our journey through the story, what stands out for you? You know, maybe something that would be helpful for you, and I encouraged our adult Bible class to do this morning, is sometime maybe today or maybe throughout the week, I encourage you to come back to the sanctuary and to check out our storyboard of the story that's been prepared for us week by week over in the back corner as you're leaving. I encourage you to take a moment to soak that in, to revisit some of the narratives, the details, the characters, and the reflections of who our God is painted for us throughout the story. For example, I can't help but wonder if you think back to the story, if one of the things that stands out for you is God's call to a guy by the name of Abraham, where God calls Abraham and says, Abraham, go to this land that I will show you. I have a promise for you, a plan, a purpose for your life. Maybe that's one of the things that stands out for you, or maybe it's the story of Joseph. How Joseph, good guy, maybe not so good family. His brothers throw him in a well, take him out, sell him into slavery. See ya, Joe. But we discovered, didn't we, that even in a dark place like jail, and even in a place where you're accused of things you haven't done, God still has a purpose for your life. And what we learned from Joseph, and maybe what you took away from that, is that when God is with you, it makes all the difference. Maybe for you, one of the things that stood out was the wilderness wanderings. God sends his agent of deliverance, Moses, into Egypt with this message for Pharaoh. Pharaoh, God wants his people out. So God rescues his people from Egypt and sends them into the wilderness. And it's in this wilderness that they learn that God provides, not Pharaoh, not Egypt. They don't provide, but God provides. And during this wilderness wandering, we discovered what was in the heart and who it was they were actually living for. Maybe it was not none of those. Maybe it was for you. Maybe it was the faith of a woman by the name of Ruth, who lost her husband, her father-in-law, finds herself clinging to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and ends up following her back to a land she didn't know, back to a people she didn't know, back to learn about a God she didn't know before. Ruth would become the great-grandmother of someone else we know, David. Maybe you resonated with David's story. Maybe some of you haven't chased sheep around for a good part of your life, but maybe you understand what it's like when you're rolled by a season of life and you're on the run and you feel alone and you're anxious and you're depressed and you're wondering if God still has a plan for your life, and you see how God takes this shepherd boy and turns him into a giant slayer yet king. And as we hear, David has heart after God's. But maybe those pieces of the story you didn't resonate with. Maybe you resonated with God's prophets, his messengers, these people God called upon to live out and embrace God's message in their own life, to in other words, be a living sermon for other people that point people back to God. Maybe you resonated with that. And maybe you thought about how your relationships are meant for a purpose, how there's purpose in where you work and where you live, how every conversation, every situation, every moment can be consecrated to God in such a way that when people see you and hear you, they get a sermon that points back to Jesus. Maybe you resonated with that, or maybe you resonated with God's people being in a place they didn't want to be. After years of disobedience, God's people were swept away to places like Assyria and Babylon. Babylon, this stuffy basement where Babylon tells you what to wear, Babylon tells you what to eat, Babylon tells you what to do, what to worship, and when. And maybe you thought back to the places in your life where you felt like you've been in a Babylon, where you felt like you were in a place that was so dark, so cold, so removed that even God himself couldn't be there. But then you saw what faith in the fire looks like. You saw a man by the name of Daniel, who in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, he stands opposed to the norm of the day. When he's told to worship and pray to something else, he does what he always does. He goes back, in verse 10, we hear this. Daniel prays as he always did. And maybe you thought about the times in your life where your faith was in the fire, but maybe none of those resonated with you. Maybe for you, it was landing on Jesus. Maybe there were things that you had never heard about Jesus. Maybe there were some things you thought you heard, but you weren't sure if they were true. Maybe you had learned things years ago, but then you forgot about them. And now in our journey through the story, God brought those things out to the forefront, and you realize Jesus is no ordinary man. He has sovereignty over creation. He has sovereignty over illness, sovereignty over spiritual oppression and diseases and even death itself. But maybe there was a part of the story that resonated with you as we took a look at the birth of the early church. As God took these hand-chosen disciples of Jesus and sent them out in powder keg fashion to go and to change the world. And maybe you thought about how God is calling you and me to do the same today as followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. So I ask you once again, and maybe as you take stock of the storyboard back there, what elements of the story resonate with you? What has God laid on your heart during this 31-week journey? Maybe it's none of those things. Maybe it's just this. Maybe as you take a look at the storyboard, maybe you do as we would do if we went to an art museum, where if you're looking this close, you can't really see it. But maybe as we've taken this journey week by week, you've taken a step back to really take in the mosaic, to take in how every single tile and piece, every relationship, every person, every moment has been woven and placed together to have this big mosaic and tapestry. And maybe what you're seeing is just this, that God desires to remain with his people. Through thick and thin, through sin, disobedience, God desires to remain with his people. Maybe that's been your takeaway. In fact, I hope it is. Today, as we take our last step in the story and take a look at our final video this morning, I'd like for you to hang on to this thought, this reality, and this truth that God desires to remain with his people. Let's listen in for how John paints this for us in the book of Revelation, a book that's so oftentimes shrouded in confusion and mystery. It's actually not that confusing when you think about it. We'll unpack that in a little bit. Before we do that, let's take a moment to check out today's sermon video.
John, one of the last living disciples that walked with Jesus, was living in exile on an island called Patmos. One day, God gave him a vision, commanding him to write letters to seven different churches. John also saw a series of mysterious and symbolic scenes. He saw a door open into heaven, and he was swept up into it. He saw a throne with someone sitting on it. In front of the throne, he saw a lamb looking as if it had been killed. Lightning flashed from the throne and thunder clapped. People and creatures surrounding the throne all fell down and worshiped the lamb. And thousands of angels circled the throne and said in a loud voice, "Worthy is the lamb who was slain." Every creature in heaven and on earth gave praise to the lamb and to the one seated on the throne. Next, John saw every person who ever lived standing in front of the throne. A book called the Book of Life opened up. Anyone whose name was not in the Book of Life was thrown into a lake of fire. But for all those whose names were there, something amazing awaited. John saw a bright and shining city descend from the sky. A loud voice told him this was where all of God's people will live and that God will live there among them forever. God will wipe away every tear and there will be no more death, crying, or pain. A river as clear as crystal flowed from the throne of God through the middle of this great city. Next to the river stood the tree of life, which healed the world from every wrong, making all things perfect. Then Jesus himself, standing with John, said, "Come, let those who are thirsty come. Let all who wish take a free gift of the water of life."
See if you resonate with this. So growing up as a kid, I read a lot of books, a lot of kids' books, and I think some of that was encouraged as we took these family vacations across the country, you know, the kind where you get the minivan and you go to Costco beforehand and you load up with junk food and you throw all that in the back of the van, then you lock the doors and you hit the road and then you make pit stops along the way as the junk food dwindles, you know. One of the things we also did was we went to places like Walmart or our local bookstore and we were able to pick up a book. And as we'd pick up these books, one of the things that I would oftentimes do, confessions of a pastor here, I would sometimes skip ahead. I know, I would skip ahead to the end of the book. Any of you ever done that before at some point in your life? Yeah, you pick up the book, you're like, I just can't wait. You know, you kind of, I want to say scroll ahead, but that's too technologically connected. I turned, there we go, turned, stay with me, turned, yeah, to the back of the book to see what would happen. One of the books that we, my sister and I enjoyed reading were Goosebumps books. I don't know if some of you read those or are reading those. Don't think less of me. But same thing, these kind of mystery, suspense, sci-fi, what's going to happen kind of books. And I couldn't wait to see what would happen with the characters. So that's exactly what I would do. I'd pick up the book and I'd turn to the end. And then I'd say, okay, well, this person's at the end. This person's not, so I probably don't need to follow along with that guy, and he's not going to make it, and so forth. You ever had that experience? Or maybe in watching a TV show, you know, we DVR and we record some of our programs or our series, and sometimes it's, I just can't wait. I got to hit that fast forward button. I want to see what happens at the end. And then you get there and you're like, oh, man. St. John does this for us when he writes down everything the Lord gave him, what we know as the book of Revelation, the revelation of John, or the revealing of God's picture to John. This is John, once again, John, one of the handpicked disciples, the one that Jesus loved, the brother of James, one of the sons of Zebedee, the same John who wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And this is what John does for us. He gives us a glimpse of what's to come. He gives us a glimpse of what's going to happen for you and for me, and the promise and the hope that we get as a free gift because of Jesus Christ. And in this glimpse of what's to come, we also hear this refrain, the same refrain that we have heard throughout the entirety of our journey. Let's say this together. God desires to remain with his people. This is what John records for us, Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Now, once again, we hear this in the story, do we not? God desires to be with his people. When Abraham decides to maybe pass his wife Sarah off as his sister so that he won't come under some of the pressure of the king as they're passing through, when Abraham does this, yet God in his grace still says, "I desire to be with you." When Joseph's brothers throw him aside, God, in a big way, communicates, I still desire to be with you, and I'm going to use your brother who you threw away to save your lives. We see this and we hear this refrain throughout Scripture, do we not? God desires to be with his people. And once again, as John unpacks for us in the book of Revelation, as he turns us to the end of the book to give us that great glimpse of what's to come, it is this takeaway, is it not? God desires to be with his people, with you. Where does this message find you today? What chapter or season of life are you currently in? Where do you need to hear these words in your life? That God desires to be with you. Pastor Seth, no one wants to be where I'm at. It's messy, it's confusing, it's ugly, it hurts. God wants to be with you. Pastor Seth, I don't even know what's coming around the next corner. I don't even know if the doctors know. I don't even know if the bill collectors know. God desires to dwell with his people. If I could paint a title over the book of Revelation with two simple yet profound words, it would be this, what you see on the screen up front this morning. And maybe you need to write this down. Because sometimes there are things that happen in life that rob this truth from your heart and mine. But the two simple yet profound words that we as God's people hear this morning are these: Jesus wins. If you want to capture the entirety of Revelation with all 20-some chapters, with all of its numbers and symbolic imagery and language and so forth, if you want to get this to a place where you can understand it, you can process it, digest it, live it, pass it on, then take these two words home with you today and let them sink in and let them bear fruit in your life. Jesus wins. Revelation 21, John picks it up for us in verse 5. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this. I will be their God, and they will be my children. Jesus wins. Not illness. Not struggles with physical health, mental health, emotional health. Bills don't win. Sin does not win. Satan does not win. Governments do not win. Policies do not win. Jesus wins. This was Roger Strube's faith, and I know that you don't know Roger Strube, and if you do, come and talk to me after worship. We can share some memories. Roger and Laura Strube and their family were friends of ours from Redeemer Lutheran back in Richmond, Virginia, where Kara and I moved from last summer. Not long ago, Roger was diagnosed with a very aggressive form of cancer, to say the least. And yet the faith that Roger embraced and the faith that Roger lived was just what we saw on the screen not long ago. Two simple words. In my life, Jesus wins. Pastor Seth, I don't understand this diagnosis, but Jesus wins. I don't know how much time we have left together as a family. Jesus wins. It hurts. We don't know if there's going to be healing. We don't know if we're going to pay the bills or how we're going to pay them. There's confusion. But Pastor Seth, Jesus wins. January of 2015, Roger lost his battle with cancer. Family and friends were close by, and not long after Roger passed, one of his sons took a small white dry erase board and walked it into Roger's room, put it at the foot of his bed, and left a very short yet profound message for anybody coming in to read. And the message was this: I win. Roger was able to say that because of the faith that we confess and we hold on to, that because Jesus wins, Roger wins. Roger's wife wins. Roger's kids win. His church family wins. You and I win. The cancer doesn't win. Jesus wins. Where do you need to hear that this morning? Or maybe a better question to ask you this morning is this: where is your hope? If it's in stuff, it's not going to last. If it's in another person, at some point they will let you down. If it's in yourself, you only have so much strength and you can only go so far. Despite what the world and society tells you, you cannot do it all. But there is someone who can. Someone who does. Jesus. Who gave his life for you and for me on the cross, for our forgiveness, and for an everlasting hope. Because Jesus wins, you and I win. Today as we leave, I pray that this truth and this faith and this hope would transform how you approach whatever it is you're facing today and what may come next week or tomorrow. And I pray that God, through the working of the Holy Spirit, helps us to do just this, to live the story. May God grant this to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.